Chapter 4. It was a chill November evening of the old-fashioned type. The moon looked pale and wan, as if it shouldn't be up on a night like this. It rose unwillingly and hung like an ill spectre. Silhouetted against it, dim and hazy through the dampness which rose from the unwholesome fens, stood the assorted towers and turrets of St. Sedd's, Cambridge, a ghostly profusion of buildings thrown up over centuries, medieval next to Victorian, Odeon next to Tudor. Only rising through the mist did they seem remotely to belong to one another. Between them scurried figures, hurrying from one dim pool of light to another, shivering, leaving wraiths of breath which folded themselves into the cold night behind them. It was 7 o'clock. Many of the figures were heading for the college dining hall, which divided first court from second court, and from which warm light reluctantly streamed. Two figures in particular seemed ill-matched. One, a young man, was tall, thin, and angular. Even muffled inside a heavy, dark coat, he walked a little like an affronted heron. The other was small, roundish, and moved with an ungainly restlessness, like a number of elderly squirrels trying to escape from a sack. His own age was on the older side of completely indeterminate. If you picked a number at random, he was probably a little older than that, but, well, it was impossible to tell. Certainly his face was heavily lined, and the small amount of hair that escaped from under his red woollen skiing hat was thin, white, and had very much its own ideas about how it wished to arrange itself. He, too, was muffled inside a heavy coat, but over it he wore a billowing gown with a very faded purple trim, the badge of his unique and peculiar academic office. As they walked, the older man was doing all the talking. He was pointing at items of interest along the way, despite the fact that it was too dark to see any of them. The younger man was saying, "Oh, yes, and really, how interesting, and well, 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 and good heavens." His head bobbed seriously. They entered not through the main entrance to the hall, but through a small doorway on the east side of the court. This led to the senior combination room and a dark-panelled anteroom where the fellows of the college assembled to slap their hands and make brrr noises before making their way through their own entrance to the high table. They were late and shook off their coats hurriedly. This was complicated for the older man by the necessity first of taking off his professorial gown, then of putting it back on again once his coat was off, then of stuffing his hat in his coat pocket, then of wondering where he'd put his scarf, and then of realizing that he hadn't brought it, then of fishing in his coat pocket for his handkerchief, then of fishing in his other coat pocket for his spectacles, and finally of finding them, quite unexpectedly, wrapped in his scarf, which it turned out he had brought after all, but hadn't been wearing, despite the damp and bitter wind blowing in like a witch's breath from across the fens. He bustled the younger man into the hall ahead of him, and they took the last two vacant seats at the high table, braving a flurry of frowns and raised eyebrows for interrupting the Latin grace to do so.